Good morning. Welcome to our morning service and a time of worship and praise together. We're going to begin our service this morning with a song, and the verses of this song are Gun Hill's own verses. Father, we thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe through the past week. And we pray that, Lord, you will bless us in this time together as we praise you and worship you and adore your wonderful name. As we listen to your word, speak to us, Lord, we pray. Equip us for the week ahead and supply all our needs. Lord, be glorified this morning. And may your people today be blessed, strengthened, and equipped for the week ahead. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Move amongst your people this morning, blessing and supplying every need, we pray, in Jesus' name. Now let's sing one of our very own Gun Hill songs, Jesus, I Am Trusting You.
Thank you.
David Tarr is going to tell us briefly something about himself and introduce one of the Teen Challenge team who will share his testimony with us. David.
My name's David Tarr and I'm the Outreach Director for Teen Challenge now. But that wasn't always the way because I was a heroin addict and an alcoholic for 25 years of my life. Since I was last here, I've had to have a liver transplant, I was diagnosed with cancer. So I was a serious alcoholic, had serious drug problems, but the power of Jesus Christ has set me free. Yeah. And so I stand here today with a new liver, in my right mind, able to tell you about what God is doing through the ministry of Teen Challenge. Now, Teen Challenge, we're based in Ilford, in London. In East London, we have a 29-bed facility down there, and it's a place where miracles occur. It's a place where guys come in who are broken, and I have the privilege of watching the Lord restore these guys. They come to faith in Jesus, and then you just see the power of God work through them. The drug problem is absolutely out of control. There was recently 246 million addicts identified by the World Health Organization. So internationally, it's 246 million registered drug addicts. That is almost an inassailable figure, isn't it? But Teen Challenge is working there and trying to do something about it. And we're seeing amazing results. And so when we come to churches, we always like to bring some fruit of the ministry. And the fruit, we would like to have guys who are coming through the program to be able to testify. So I've got a couple of guys who are going to testify this morning. When someone comes into a Teen Challenge program, they come in and they're really dedicated to having their life changed. It's a very difficult program to go through. It's almost like being in a boot camp. And the sergeant major is God. It's very difficult. They're under real discipline. They have to clean the room immaculately in the morning. You have to be everywhere on time. It's run on a merit and a demerit basis. So if there's something wrong with your program, if you're late or there's something wrong with your room, then you get a demerit. If it's bad behaviour, you get a demerit, which ends up in extra discipline. So the guys who are with me today have really applied themselves to the program and done really well to get this far. So Colin's going to come and share now.
Yeah, I'm nervous. It's my first time doing this. There's other guys who have reached space forward the program and moved on, and we've stepped in to replace and cover them. So I'm nervous, but I feel calm. I know the Holy Spirit's with me. So if it means anything to anyone in here, then hallelujah. If not, just win and bear it. My story's similar to John's in a way, but the outcome is similar, but beginning was totally different. My childhood was, I lived near Southampton, but it was on the outside and was in the country a bit, so we had fields, there was rivers, woods up the back, you know, and it was, as kids I had an idyllic lifestyle, you know, I was fishing, swimming up the rivers, playing up the woods, you know, we played cricket out in the streets, there weren't many cars about then, and it had a great time. It wasn't until, you know, I get to 13, 14, that critical stage at school when things are awkward enough anyway, and that's when my mum started having affairs, she had an affair, and my dad was an alcoholic as well, I forgot the name, but he didn't drink at home, so I never saw the drink. I didn't know, I thought he was a good dad, he got us good presents at Christmas and that. I didn't see him much, but he was there to supply what we needed, and then mum started having an affair with someone. And then the argument started, and I just went within myself, and I just hated life when I at that critical point. And then they split up. I went with my mum, and we moved out. The guy she was seeing died, and so we moved back home with our dads again, and she had another affair. And the arguments were there, and it just got so bad, and I just couldn't wait. So it was over. At school, I was drinking then at school, and I was bunking off school, stealing drink, sometimes on my own, sometimes with friends, and that's where my life of drinking started from school time. And I missed so much school, I didn't even know what classes I had coming up. You know, I'd look at the sheet, I didn't know what looks as though I didn't go to school. So I left school, I found my own little community of friends. We were kind of like punks at the time, and rockabilly punks, and so it wasn't, you know, we could stick together, we all had lots of drink, and we'd done a bit of smoking, the ganja and stuff, which led to other drugs, but nothing heavy, and that's how my life went. I didn't like working, I just wanted to be with my friends, drinking, I had no responsibilities, so I avoided any confrontations, and I just went through life. I had a steady girlfriend, and up to about 27, I was just drinking all the time. We'd share a bottle of vodka before we go to the pub, and it was all nothing of it. This is how life was. Eventually got into trouble, moved to Birmingham, I was doing amphetamines and ecstasy up there. Started having money out, and at the time I broke into the 50p electric meters at the time. I took the money from that, tried to pay drug debts, and that was the end of my relationship. The landlord fell down, got kicked out, lucky didn't call the police. Come back home, carry on drinking, things weren't great, it's in and out of jobs. It got to about us in my mid-30s. I met this Polish girl. I forgot to mention one thing. When my mum and my dad were arguing so much, one thing I said to myself, I'll never get married. I'll never have children, and I'll never get married. So I went through life with no responsibilities, nothing. And so I met this Polish girl, and I knew I married her for the wrong reasons. You know, that she wanted a passport. We kind of loved each other, and I thought, well, she might be able to help me, and I used to drink more in front of her to make it less who I am, and she could have left me. I knew I'd be in for a bit of ridicule as well at work, but we got together, we got on good, didn't we, evening, and things were great. I was still drinking loads, and then she said, why don't we have kids, and so okay, we just tried the kids, but she had miscarriage after miscarriage, and things just didn't want to happen, and anyway, we went to Poland, she had some treatment. UV, not IVF, but it was UVF or something, and she had injections into her stomach. It cost about £50 a go over the course of about 2 months. And took my sperm, her eggs, put it back in her, and hallelujah, we got triplets. So come back to England, she phoned me, I was like, where's it? You know, I knew she was pregnant, I said, oh, I've got triplets. And I didn't know, I wasn't mature enough, you know, I avoided any issues that I wasn't growing up, I didn't learn anything at school, and very immature for my age, you know, I could use drink and avoid any responsibility. So when they were born, it was a bit of a shock, and one of them had 5 operations, a very tough time, he was in an incubator all the time with pipes and wires everywhere, and eventually we got him home with the other two, and it turns out he had cerebral palsy. So my life just completely changed. I've become a carer for Patrick, and there's physiotherapy, taking the physiotherapy there. People would come to our house, and our diary was filled up with schedules, and trying to look after the other two babies and Patrick, and the church would come involved with us. I don't know how it happened, but they come around, and that is a blessing. And it's my first association I ever had with Christianity and church. They were such a help. They used to take the other two out and take across around Patrick, and they supplied clothes to us. They were there all the time for us, and really, really needed, appreciated that help at the time. Anyway, when they were 2.5, Sylvia took the boys to Poland to see her mum for her birthday, surprise visit. And when she was out there, Patrick died. And so she called me up, said he's dead. He suffocated, she tried to resuscitate him. Me, not knowing how to cope with life, you know, I just fell apart. You know. So I just started drinking more and more. My life was a mess, and not long after that, Sylvia got cancer. So I couldn't cope with that, I was just drinking. In the end, she got a payout for her cancer to pay our mortgage, and she couldn't cope with me, I couldn't cope with her, we blamed each other. In my head, I thought she actually killed Patrick when she was out there because he suffocated. And I didn't tell her that, but I had that thought in my head all the time. And I know it's wrong. But eventually, we got divorced, and she paid me off from this money for her cancer. That gave me a year. I thought, I'm going to give a year. If I can't change my ways, I'm going to kill myself. And in that year, I just drank every day. I was doing amphetamines and ecstasy, HDMA. I'm just glad I never got into heroin, because I just did anything I could get to just to blot everything out and to get to sleep at night, whatever it was that I'd done. And after the year, it comes to the point, I ran out of money, what am I going to do? So I tried an overdose, went to the hospital, come back out, didn't work. A month later, I tried it again, I was just sick, it didn't happen. And in the end, I got help, I went to a detox, you know, rehab. after only 17 days, I come out, I was clean. Sylvia came back to me and said, let's get married again. I thought, great, well, it's a bit early after 17 days, but my status was not yet a bit early. So I was clean for about 2 months, and I started drinking again. Just gradually, just one, I thought, you're right, and then you just all come down. And the suicidal thoughts come back again, I used to go down to the bouncing at night. Not even thinking about me having kids, you know, I was so in pain to deal with it. I just wanted to die, to drink myself, and I was okay, jumping into the sea, and I'm going to drown myself. But after about 4 or 5 times, and every time it happened, there was a voice in me that kept saying, there's something I need to do, there's something in my life that I've not done yet that I need to do. And I didn't think anything of it until just really a month ago. And at the time, I just noticed there was something going on, and it was annoying me because it was getting in the way as a hindrance, and it was bothering me. I think it was my conscience, but eventually, through I started doing some work for the church, and I started with my life back. I was trying my best. I thought, I'll go to church, I'll do some voluntary work. And when I started doing that, things started turning around. And then this other Christian guy said, come and work for me, I was doing some work for him. And then another Christian, through a roundabout way, I ended up in Germany, working on the Queen Mary 2 in a dry fit, helping in it, and I met this other Christian guy who works in Ilford in the City Gate Church there, and he introduced me to Team Challenge, and he said about it. When I come back home after the visit there, my life went downhill now. I was working, I was getting money, and I couldn't stop drinking. It was such a problem, I couldn't stop. And I was about to get kicked out again, and I said, look, phone up to Team Challenge and they said, come on up, have an interview. The church paid for my petrol to get up here. And I've been in Team Challenge for 4 months now. For 3 months of it, I didn't like it. It was hard, really hard work. And the last month, I really prayed and I felt the Holy Spirit come on me in that time. And ever since then, I've had this peace about me. And I've never had this before in my life. And past month, I've been looking at myself and seeing how immature I've been. Now I'm learning about perseverance, about patience. I'm just looking at myself all the time and improving myself and trying to love others, be faithful, and just trying to live how the Lord wants me to live. And now I know that everything in that book is true. And I thought it was going to be a hard slog, but it's going to be really hard just to try and make myself believe it's true. But things have happened, I've seen miracles, and I've felt the Holy Spirit in me, and I just know that this is all true. And I've been picked up in a roundabout way that's brought me to Teen Challenge, and for once in my life I've got hope. And when I phoned my ex-wife up last week, the reaction in her voice was like, Colin, why didn't you listen to me before the time I told you to stop drinking? I just say, look, no matter what she could have said, or anyone, any other rehab out there, could have done nothing to me. It had to come from up there. And God spoke to me, and He's still speaking to me. And I got such hope, and I was so excited about it, and I got hungry. I just want to learn as much as I can about God. And I just thank you about that. Glory to the Lord.
And now we come to that time where we shall join together, sharing in the breaking of bread, sharing in that time of communion and fellowship with the Lord. When we remember why Jesus died for us and what He did when He went to that cross of Calvary, when He bore all our sin, dealt with it completely, took the punishment that we might be set free, that we might be declared innocent. Lord, we want to thank You this morning that You brought us together to praise Your name, to remember what You did for us. Lord, You went to the cross of Calvary. You trod that pathway, not turning away, not turning back, but to do the will of the Father. Oh, Lord, we pray that You'll bless us this morning as we share together in this time of remembrance. Lord, we thank You, Lord, as we come to Your word. We read in Matthew's Gospel, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and broke, and gave to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And we thank You, Lord, and praise Your wonderful name, that there is that remembrance of what You suffered, what You endured for us, when You trod that pathway to the cross, when You were nailed to that cross, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Oh, but we can add to that this morning, Lord, now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah! What a Saviour. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that your body was, as it were, broken for us. We thank you, Lord, that you took our sin. You dealt with it once for all on Calvary. And when we come to the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 11, it there declares, when you had given thanks, you broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And that's why we've come this morning, Lord, to remember what you did for us, to remember what it cost you. Thank you, Lord. And so this morning, as we've come together, and as we give you the praise and the glory, we this morning take the bread also, and Lord, we break it, and Lord, we eat of that bread. We eat of that bread. We remember the price that you paid for us. We do this in remembrance of you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To you be all the glory and the praise and the honour. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then your word says, in Matthew's Gospel, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's the blood that pays the price. Hallelujah. It's by your blood. Without the shedding of blood, your word said, there is no remission of sins. When we come to Corinthians again, we read that Paul wrote these words, after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And this morning again, Lord, we drink of the cup. We take the cup now, Lord. We drink of it now. And, Lord, we remember. It was your blood that was shed for us, poured out. As, Lord, you endured all that was done to you, Lord, your head pierced with the crown of thorns, your back dripping with blood from the scourging you received, your hands and feet nailed to that cross. Oh, blessed Lord, we bless your wonderful name. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and praise your name this morning, Lord, that your blood flowed, that we might be cleansed from every sin, because your word declares, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You paid the price for us. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, this morning, that we've been able to remember as we took the cup, as we drank from the cup, Lord, as we drank of that wine together, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, as we broke the bread. Lord, we thank and praise you for that glorious remembrance, week by week, as we come together, of what you did for us. And now bless us, Lord, as we continue with this meeting, Lord. Bless us, we pray. Be glorified, be uplifted, we pray, in Jesus' name. We give you the glory. Thank you, Lord, for going to Calvary for us. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go to the hospital. Now Graham's going to bring us a message. Ask for the old paths.
Jeremiah chapter 6, from verse 13 to verse 17. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Lord, we just pray this morning you'll bless your word to us and speak to us. In Jesus' name this morning, Lord. Open our hearts to your word, Lord, that we may listen, that we may learn from your word, Lord, that we may be built up and encouraged in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Departure from God's ways was a very great problem in the days of Jeremiah. I think it's an even greater problem today. I'm talking about the people of God departing from God's ways. Not the state of the world around us that's not saved. There was a great departure from the ways of the Lord and from his word. And no doubt the departure from the word of God brought about the departure from God, leaving the things of God. The tragedy is the ruination of people's lives. You see, there are people today, supposedly Christians, who are departing from the ways of the Lord because they've departed from the word of God. And it brings ruination to thousands of lives. People who listen to them and do what they say, put their teachings into practice, as a departure from God's word. If we go back into the previous chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 5, and pay the last two verses of chapter 5, it says there in the Authorised Version, I don't know whatever version you're reading, in the Authorised Version it says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. But actually the Hebrew words are these. Astonishment and filthiness is committed in the land. That's what it says. Astonishment and filthiness is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And therein is the tragedy. The people are content to be misled. The people are content to follow false teaching without thinking about it, comparing it with the word of God, without challenging. And what was happening in the day of Jeremiah is happening to a greater degree today. All over the world, there's false doctrine being churned out, and people believing it and believing the lie. Because there's a departure on every hand from the truth of God's word. You know, in history, the Roman Church had its false prophets. What does the Lord say here? He speaks about the prophets in verse 13. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, to greed. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. And from the prophets prophesying lies, the priests carrying on with those lies and putting those lies into practice, things went astray. We had the Reformation. The things have gone astray again. There was an awakening in the 18th century. We've gone astray again. There's a Pentecostal revival at the beginning of the 20th century. We've gone astray again. God keeps bringing people back to his word and saying, look, this is wrong. And then people wander off the pathway again because they don't keep to the word of God. And there's no evangelical Christian who can study the word of God and say, oh, the Roman Catholic Church is okay. It peddles lies. It's got a whole system that's nothing to do with the word of God. Don't be sold the lie that it's the real church and, you know, the Church of England came from it in this country and other churches have come from it. If you want to see the beginning of the church, go to your Bible. Read the Gospels, the Book of Acts, see what happened there, and compare it with every church system, I mean even our church system. Praise God we can come together, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We can come together, and we can put our faith and trust in the Lord. Yes. We don't want to follow the lies, no. We want to follow the truth. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is you can see the effects of going astray in every area of church life. There are many today across the world, because people across the world can reach into your home, into your lives. Back in the time of the Wesleys, that couldn't happen. When John and Charles Wesley were involved in that revival that went on in this country in the 18th century, they say it prevented the revolution that might have taken place in this country, but which happened in France. But today it can happen. The lies of the enemy can reach into your home by all the wonderful technologies available today. The lies of the enemy can be peddled into your homes and sown in your hearts. Don't receive it. Keep close to the Word of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You see, in the time of Jeremiah, they were operating away from the Lord. They'd gone astray. They'd been led astray because of their greed. You look at what comes to us nowadays from all areas of the world. Not just the United States. There's so much that's motivated by greed. Some of these great preachers that you hear of, so-called great preachers you hear of, they're multi-millionaires.
Yes. Yes.
Where's the money come from? People like you and me, well, hopefully not people like you and me, but all I'm saying is ordinary people, sometimes poor little old ladies with just struggling on a pension, and they're sending huge amounts of money to these people to get their latest CD, DVD publication. You've got to have this because this is a new revelation. All the revelation you need is in the Word of God. The lies of these new revelations. Don't believe it. Put your trust in the Word of God. So many claims have a new revelation. I remember back in the 70s when we first came here. I did go to one of his meetings actually, but the fellow was here. I believe he loves the Lord, but he was talking about a new anointing. There's only one anointing, it's for the Holy Spirit, what the disciples had. Praise the Lord. Don't be deceived by these ideas. There was truth in it. But you've got to be careful that you're not trying to draw people in by saying this is something that nobody else has got. Nobody else has had this revelation. If it's not in the Bible, question it. So know the Word of God. Whether you read it or listen to it being read, know the Word of God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and pray. Don't neglect these things. It's because people neglect the Word of God, neglect being filled with the Spirit, neglect praying, that they're led astray. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 6, which we read from this morning, a plea goes out. Because of what Jeremiah said at the end of chapter 5, astonishment and filthiness is committed in the land, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. In Jeremiah 6, a plea goes out for the children of Benjamin. Benjamin means my son of my right hand. It's the first one of chapter 6. Oh, you children of Benjamin! Children of Benjamin, son of my right hand! Gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakarim. For evil appears out of the north, and great destruction. And it's a calling for God's people to get ready, to prepare, because the enemy is coming as in judgment upon the land. People have run away from the Lord because of his self-indulgence. And here we are in chapter 6, and we read these verses this morning, verses 13 to 15. In verse 13, everyone, he says, is given to covetousness. And there are today, as I say, those people who are making millions, literally millions. You can see them on television. You can see them on the stuff that comes from the other side of the world. You can see them that come from this country. They've cottoned on to the idea this makes money. From the least of them, he said, they're all given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, they all deal falsely. They twist God's word. They deal falsely. Verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. There is no peace. They're peddling a lie. This morning you can know, without paying hundreds of pounds or hundreds of dollars to get my latest book, you can know the truth of the Word of God. It's for free. Hallelujah. You don't have to pay for it. And in verse 15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. Why not? Because they're full of themselves. They were not at all ashamed. They couldn't blush. They shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. The Lord is warning that for all these things that are going on, and we wonder how people are taken in by them, the Lord says judgment is coming. You want to get right with God, not face judgment. And we can get right with God because he has provided that wonderful salvation. Okay. They commit abomination, but there's no shame. And there's a lot of it today. You know, there's falseness. There are lies being peddled. You're being told to act in a certain way, do certain things, give your money to these people. And unless you do, you know, you won't know the blessing. They're selling lies. They're unscrupulous. Do you know, we've seen some of that. We've heard about some of it. Jack was telling us about some fella on the TV that is selling bottles of the Holy Spirit. It's in the bottle. There was the other fella that was selling bottles of healing water. You buy the water and it... They're selling it. They're not even ministering it free. Not that it's right. It makes it right anyway. But they're selling these things.
Just lies, lies, and more lies.
In addition to these things, they're selling all their latest courses and CDs and DVDs. And they keep churning these books out. They keep churning these CDs out and these DVDs out. And it comes to something when they're pleading with people to give them money so they can buy a new jet to replace their old one, which is broken. And people send their money. And they're sending £1,000 so we can have a new jet costing God knows how many millions. You can't believe that people are taken in by it because, but they believe that if they send that man $100 or £100 out of their pension or something like that, the Lord's going to reward them because they've been told that if you give that £100, the Lord will increase it 100-fold. If you give £10, you'll get £1,000 back. But why don't they give all their money away to somebody? And increase their money that way, the way they're encouraging other people to. You've got to be careful in these days in which we live. And we've got the book, the Bible, the Word of God, that we can check these things against. They may be right. People claim these new revelations because they're preying on people's inquisitiveness and their gullibility. That you can't find it for yourself in the Bible. You've got to have got the revelation. And I've got the revelation and I'll share it with you if you send me this and send me that. It's that you should be beginning to be suspicious immediately when all these things happen. Similar things you see were going on in Jeremiah's day. People were believing the lie. And you know, in the book of the Epistle to the Thessalonians, it tells us of the day when there will be the false prophet operating in Jerusalem and the Antichrist in Europe. And it says, they, the people, will believe not a lie, but the lie. There's a lie that's already at work in the world.
The call goes out today to the faithful.
Here's where I want to get to. Verse 16. The call goes out today. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. The old paths. It doesn't say the old-fashioned paths. It's the old, reliable paths. The paths that the Lord has created. They don't have to be old-fashioned. Some of the new things going in churches, you don't find in the Bible. There's no praise, there's no worship.
The Lord declares his word. If we trust him, and if we
have fellowship with him, he says, behold, he says, I make all things new. They may be old paths, but they're ever new.
We need to get to those old paths. Where will you find them? In the word of God. Amen. Who will help you to understand it? The Holy Spirit. And through teaching, which we get as a fellowship of God's people.
But always, always test that teaching against the word of God. The moment I start asking you for money, ask the question, is this right? I've got a new revelation. That's how it goes. Well, the revelation that God has given is available for everyone. Free, by faith.
You know, the word of God is always fresh and living and appropriate. It's not old-fashioned. It's not out of date. The New Testament may go back a couple of thousand years.
The Old Testament might have been written 3,500 years ago, beginning with Moses.
But it's ever new. It's fresh. It's forever God's word. And the Bible says that God's word
is settled in heaven. It's in the Psalms. God's word is settled in heaven. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't get a new revelation to shove in because God's word is settled in heaven.
Hallelujah. The Lord says, I am the Lord. I change not. The world changes and expects everyone else to as well. But God never changes. He is the same. Jesus is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13. In the first epistle of Peter chapter 1 verse 23, he refers to the word of God which lives and remains, abides forever.
Doesn't change.
Hallelujah. Love the word of God, the written word of God. Love the word of God as he speaks to us by his Holy Spirit. to ourselves or in the fellowship of God's people. You see, God wants to draw our attention to something, not to be distracted by all these apparently new things going on, and you've got to have the latest thing. That's how the world operates, isn't it? That's how the world operates. I feel sorry for teenagers. They're a victim to these people who want to make lots of money. And they've no sooner got one thing than they're told, no, that's out of date now, you need this one.
What's your mobile phone like?
Is he all the latest apps on it? It's out of date, you need to get a new one, they're old fashioned, the ones that you've got. Get a new one. I've got a new one, I've got this.
Beam me up, Sherry.
No.
I'll
tell you what it does. You can phone people on it.
Yeah.
And they can phone me.
The phone,
with a little bonus that they can text me saying, pick me up at the station or whatever. I don't know how old it is. I've had it for years.
God wants to bring us back, you see, all the time. Not to be distracted by these new offers and new ideas, and this is what's happening now, and this is the way God is moving now today. He wants us to bring us back to his word. And God calls our attention to the beginning, always, in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled for the word of life. The beginning. He draws us back to the beginning. This is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's been no revision. There's been no updates. It's the faith that was once delivered to the saints right at the beginning. There's been no change to it. There's been no additions, no taking away anything from it. It's the same today as it was in the days of Peter, James, John, Matthew and so on. Jude had a word or two to say as well. He said, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There have been no updates, no taking away, no adding to it. Praise the Lord. What does he say here in verse 16? He says, ask for the old paths. Stand in the ways. Be suspicious of new ideas, new practices, new teachings. Thus says the Lord, stand in the old paths. Treat with suspicion what's any new ideas and new practices and teachings. Jeremiah 6 verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways of the sea and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. And, he says, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus said that too. See, in the old, there is newness from God. It can be ever fresh. Ezekiel spoke about, I will put a new spirit within you. This is the Lord speaking. A new heart will I also give you. In Mark chapter 14, this is my blood of the new covenant. We rejoice this morning in the new covenant that God has made. It was an eternal covenant. It was there from the beginning. It was God's eternal purpose that Jesus should die for our sins and rise again. Luke 22 refers to the new covenant too. John chapter 13, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. What's this new commandment? Well, it's the old one, really. Love one another. But love one another as I have loved you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are become new. And in Romans chapter 6 it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That word new, there are two words for new in the New Testament. This is a little bit of the problem. Kaine, or kainos in the masculine, kainos means new in the sense of fresh. It's old, but it's ever fresh. But there's another word, neos, which means brand new, totally new, something different. And that's what's coming today. People are trying to give us not something which is fresh from the Lord, fresh in the power of the Spirit, but something which is brand new, their own ideas, really.
There is a newness that we can know that's brand new. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, both words are used in the Greek. Colossians 3 and 10 says, you have put on the new man, a brand new man. The old one is dead. You are new. You put on the new man, which is renewed. That's the refreshing. We are brand new man, but every day it's refreshed, it's refreshed, it's fresh, fresh, fresh every day. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's what we need.
Not brand new, fangled ideas, the inventions of men, but that newness that comes from the Lord, that freshness of life that comes from him.
In Jesus' name. Oh, Jeremiah could rejoice, couldn't he?
He could say, new! He was moaning about, not moaning, he was mourning the problems and difficulties before these people, but he said, nevertheless, God's blessings, they are new every morning.
Peter warnings. In verse 17, this is where the people of God fell down.
And this is where we will fall down if we don't heed the warnings that are given.
In verse 17, he says this, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. What's the sound of the trumpet?
It's the warning sound. Danger. You're going astray. They said, we don't listen to that.
We like what we've got. Thank you very much. The watchmen refused to heed the warnings of the trumpet. They said, we will not listen. We will not hearken. And so the warnings of God and the warnings of his word are dismissed and pushed to one side. Oh, we've got a better understanding now, people say. Well, you see, people are always looking for something new. That's the problem. Brand new. Not fresh, but something brand new. A change. And that's where the problem arises that people can be deceived. What God has revealed in his word does not change. It does not evolve into something different. It's the same, just as Jesus is the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. You can't add to it, you can't change it, you can't adapt the word of God to fit the ungodly world. That's what they're doing today, have you noticed? They're adapting the word of God to fit the ungodly world.
They're saying things, oh, the Bible, that was for years ago. But now we know differently. Now we know differently. We know that you've got to treat all these different people, and they've got different ideas of sexuality and all the rest of it. The Bible makes it quite clear that that is not the case. And as believers, we can't accept it. We stand for the truth of God's word. Don't have to be nasty to other people. Don't have to be unkind to other people. But we have to stand by what the word of God says.
In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus uses those words that I quoted a bit earlier on. He said, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's what the Lord says. If we ask for the old path, the good way, and walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. It's the way of Jesus. It's the way of the Lord. Ask for the old path. In Psalm 16, it talks about the path of life. In Psalm 23, as you know, it talks about the Lord. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. And may that be so. And in Proverbs 14 and verse 18, it has this lovely little thought. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, we're looking for his coming. Hallelujah. We're looking for his coming. Nothing has changed in his word. He's coming again. And we're looking for his coming. Don't be deceived by all those new ideas and new trends, brand new ideas of men, money-making ideas and so on. Keep to the word of God. Keep to the word of God. Keep in the fellowship of God's people where the word of God is taught and honoured. Stand in the old paths. And if you stand in the old paths, you'll know that newness of life every moment, every day. That freshness that comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you richly. Bless the Lord.
Let's sing a song about heaven. One of the old Gun Hill songs. Heaven's courts are filled with praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
us pray together. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful testimonies that have been shared today. Thank you, Lord, that we can sing Happy Day, the day that you took our sins away, the day that you dealt with our every need and every problem. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray you'll be with us through this week. Use us in your service and bless us, we pray, and glorify your name. Amen.